Okay, good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome us to the City of Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board meeting. Today is Thursday, March 10th. We are at the Vets Hall. It is 9:05 for the record. For the record, I will advise we have Taylor Newton, myself, Michelle Hawkes, and Aaron Graves here in attendance. I believe Charlie Yates is hopefully on his way. And Jane Beeman will not be here in attendance today. So we'll get this meeting started. We'll go ahead and open it up for public comment.
Good morning, John Solu, business owner, resident of Morro Bay. Just a couple things. One, I finally want to say thank you, Brent, for a great billboard on Highway 1. I'm upset that you didn't have my picture up there, but that's okay, next time. So that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. And the second thing I wanted to just kind of just keep harping on is that, you know, I've been here since 1998. I was on the promotions committee meeting, and saw that evolve to where it is. Then the TBID started 6+ years ago. I hope you guys do everything you can keep the talent that we have currently on as the director, which is Brent. And I hope we're not too cheap, because as we have experienced before, you get what you pay for. And I hope that that stays in the forefront as we're going through this transition. So, Brent, thank you for everything you're doing. And thank you for volunteering and being here. Board.
Thanks.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
Any further public comment? Okay. Seeing no further public comment, I'll go ahead and close public comment and move on to the approval of the minutes from February 11th, our special meeting that we had on February 11th. Hopefully everybody's read through those. Mm-hmm. I can get a motion.
Yep. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from the February 11th meeting. Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, we're going to go. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, motion carries 3-0. Then we will move on to discussion and recommendation regarding Morro Bay event funding requests. And I'm going to turn this over to Brent to let us know how we're going to go through this.
Yes. Thank you, Michelle. So we actually have 4 requests that are actually on the table. We have $24,000 that can be allocated to these 4 events. Plus, we do also have a presentation coming from the county cow, San Luis Obispo County Cow Parade. So just kind of keep that in mind as we're going through these different presentations. Each of the events will actually be coming up to speak and present. It'll give you guys an opportunity that if there's any questions, we're going to actually have the speaker stay up at the microphone. If there's no questions, you know, you guys definitely can have discussion at that specific time. So any questions up to this point?
No, just looking forward to some good presentations and
Sounds
discussion.
Sounds great. Well, we are going to be having Sean Farmer step up to the microphone to discuss the funding requests for the Morro Bay Kite Festival, their 10th annual.
Good morning, committee. My name is Sean Farmer, business owner here in Morro Bay, and also the chair of the 10th annual Morro Bay Kite Festival. First of all, I'd like to thank the Tourism Bureau for the funding they've given us over the past years. I can't tell you how many it's been, but you've been involved quite a bit. This is our 10th year. I'd like to thank some of our sponsors that have been with us for the whole 10 years. One of the most important ones is Central Coast Funds for Children. They're a nonprofit group that does nothing but think good things for children. Every year they donate 500 kites and come out and decorate them with the kids. And if you haven't been out there, it's pretty fun to watch. Not only the kids have fun, but I've noticed, Brent and I have talked about this, there's a lot of middle-aged guys out there reliving their childhood with their kids' kites in their hand. It's that's right. It's really fun to watch. Also, Giovanni's Fish Market has fed the kite flyers every year for 10 years, the night before the kite festival. It's really a nice gesture. We have some local moteliers, John and Joan Solu, Jim Bray, 456 in Marcadero. Whether any motel they've owned, they've donated a room every year. Morro Dunes Trailer Park, Doug and Kathy Clausen, nice people. Every year they donate trailer spots for our kite flyers that bring RVs. Michelle Hawkes and the Bartfield Group, every year. Michelle has just been outstanding. I'm telling you, she gives us great deals for the kite flyers, for the rooms we have to pay for. We couldn't do this festival without her. It's a shame that we don't have more moteliers that see the value in this festival and would donate rooms. Also, the Best Western El Rancho has donated every year. I don't know who the owner is currently, but they've always donated a room. One more thing I want to mention. I met with Mark Tognazzini this year. He's going to get on board and feed the kite flyers Saturday night of the festival. He's going to do a beer and rib barbecue for $20 and donate half the proceeds to the kite festival for next year, which I think is really awesome. So that's kind of my spill. I just tell you that, in my opinion, this is one of Morro Bay's best events that we have. And yesterday I was kind of messing around on the internet. I'm not really computer savvy, but I actually found a Yelp that somebody put about our festival, and I won't read you the whole thing. But basically it just says, let me find it here. Parking is free, entry is free, kites fly high, and you are welcome and encouraged to bring your own and set it into the breezy skies. Professionals put on demo shows, a kind of ice capades where routines are performed to music that is piped over the beach on an impressively loud sound system. I had no idea there was kite flying scene like this, but it is live and well. Put this on your calendar for next year. So, thank you guys. Like I said, I honestly believe this could be Morro Bay's premier family event if we all would get behind it. Thank you.
Okay, so I, of course, will just start it off and say thank you, Sean, because I know you've put hours and hours into this, and you've kind of been the soul. If it wasn't for you, the Kite Festival wouldn't be happening. So thank you, because that's 10 years of service. I know we need to get you help, because it's a lot of work for you, and I know you put a lot of blood and sweat and tears. So my understanding is he's asking for $5,000. Brent is not right here, but I don't know if we're taking these individually. Me, personally, I would give him all five. Without the money, it's not going to happen. I'd love to see this expanded over time, but you need help to do that. But I don't want to see the Kite Festival go away. So I'm a huge, I would say no problem, $5,000. Brent, are we taking these individually? How do we?
You can listen to all of. I would recommend to listen to all of them. You know how much money that can actually be allocated today.
Okay.
So I would listen to all of the discussions, and then have an overall discussion in the long run.
Okay. So does anybody have any questions for Sean while he's up here?
Not particularly. Sean, I can tell you that I own the Pleasant Inn around the corner here. We'll be happy to donate a room to a kite flyer.
Thank you very much.
I also know Peter Patel, the owner of the Best Western El Rancho, and I'll happily connect you two and just see if he's interested in continuing the tradition that the previous owner had maintained.
I really appreciate it. It's a great thing. It's good for everybody.
It really is. It's a fun event.
I have just two little questions. One, your timeline, I saw from your letter that you wanted it by March 1st or whatever. We're a little past that. And so the timeline's okay and you're on point. That was one question, just kind of general. I'm very supportive. And then second one, am I wrong in remembering that this might be your last year leading the event?
Well, I'll always be involved. Like I said, I will always be involved in getting the flyers brought here and setting up the flyers. I would like to get more help. Like Michelle said, I've done this for 10 years. I own my own business. I work 6 days a week, one day a week. I get to spend at my little place out in the country, and I like to be there. So this takes a lot of time. There's a lot of stuff. I don't know if any of you have done festivals, but it takes time. So, yeah, if I had more help, I would love to have somebody chair the event. And like I said, I would be co-chair and help and point, but finding that person is tricky.
On that note, for next year, has there been any thought about discussing talking to Brent maybe, and maybe creating some kind of committee to take over all the amount of work that you've done for 10 years? That would be more sustainable.
Yeah, we actually have hired a promoter this year that we're using, but in my opinion, I'd like to see it where it was all done by, like, myself. I don't pay myself. I think the Kite Festival should be an all-volunteer thing. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pay this person. We need the help. But my goal is to get everybody to donate their time and let the festival go on.
I think one of the things that is definitely, and I don't know, Sean, if you had an opportunity to kind of talk about this, but there is actually a professional event planner that's actually assisting this year, you know, assisting Sean with some of the details, et cetera. There's that whole ability of wanting to become sustainable. They want to be able to grow the event. They want to have some things that are going to be consistent from year to year. And I know we didn't have a lot of time to brainstorm for this year, but there's really that direction on trying to figure out how to monetize some things, you know, other than just doing sponsorship. You know, this year they're going to be doing a 5K kite run. There's a family kite relay. So there's some really fun things that it's still going to remain, you know, a family-friendly event. And it's, you know, essentially a free event, but there's going to be some things to where people will be, you know, registering for and paying for. So I think it's, you know, as far as, like, their direction on where they want to go, having that sustainable model, I think they're heading in that direction. So just my two cents.
Okay, we'll stick around, because as you see, we're going to divvy up the money at the end. Sure. So, but thank you again for all your hard work, because I think it's great. I'd love to go back to just always my child side. I loved it. I remember the one year when they went and made kites in the classrooms.
Oh, yes.
And that was cool, which, again, takes more volunteers and takes more help. But it was really cool when they literally had all the kids on a Friday right before the weekend, because I think it got a lot of people out there that weekend. And I won't ever forget, there's a great picture that we've used for advertising with the kites above the rock. So, you know, kudos to you guys and all you've done and all your hard work. I know it's a lot of work. Hopefully we can get it sustainable.
Thank you.
All us volunteers are burning out.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay.
So next we are going to have the Cruisin' Morro Bay Car Show. Ken Vesterfelt is going to be coming up. He did provide the request letter. It's actually at your placement there. So without further ado, Ken.
Great. Thank you, and good morning, panel. I'd like to read this, if that's okay. The Cruisin' Morro Bay Car Show would like to thank the Morro Bay Tourism Board for their continued support of Morro Bay Car Show, held each year at the beginning of May. The show was originally created to bring tourism into Morro Bay on a weekend that was otherwise calm and expose the visitors to the beauties Morro Bay has to offer. The show has grown to become anything but a calm weekend for the city, with last year's event bringing in 583 entrants. Entrants are arriving as early as Monday, but I know that we do have some coming in on Sunday. Before the event, and the streets of downtown become packed with visitors. This is all made possible with the help and support offered by our sponsors, such as Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. The grants offered by Morro Bay Tourism Bureau assist in spreading the word about the show through television, commercial spots, posters, and banners, and through internet traffic. This event this year marks 20th anniversary of the Cruisin' Morro Bay Car Show, and the growth over the years has allowed us to give back to local organizations over $175,000 in donations. The Cruisin' Morro Bay Car Show is a nonprofit organization that uses the proceeds from the event to make donations to local organizations such as the Rotary Club of Morro Bay, the Morro Bay Police Explorers, the Morro Bay Police Volunteers, and the Morro Bay High School Football and Morro Bay Auto Shop Program. We have found the show to be favorable to the local economy on many fronts. The businesses have a pre-summer boost, with many of the hotels and restaurants experiencing maximum occupancy throughout the weekend, and once the show is over, we're able to pass along the proceeds that help to fund local groups. The Morro Bay Car Show would like to request a grant this year of the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau in the amount of $2,500 and go towards our advertising budget. Thank you in advance for your consideration of this grant. The Cruisin' Morro Bay Car Show enjoys putting on this event each year and greatly appreciates the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau funding. I'd like to also add that maybe more importantly than the donations that are given out to those entities, it is the sales tax and TOT tax that's created each year. A few years ago, we did a survey, and approximately $1,000 per vehicle is being spent over the week and through that weekend. Through that, we've had some good luck with a car show called MyClassicCar.com, who came 3 years ago, and that show is shown throughout the world. and it gave us a great publicity. It wasn't just on the car show. It showed the city, showed the coastline, etc. And for the last 5 years, this year will be the 5 years, CarCraft magazine, one of the oldest CarCraft magazines in the United States, have been coming up, and they're coming again this year. And last year they did approximately a 4-page article on the city, so we're getting a lot of publicity through that. And also I'd like to pass on, working with Brent has been wonderful, very business-minded and also friendly with that, and a lot of support. So I do appreciate that, Brent. So any questions?
No, thank you, Ken. Again, thank you for all. You guys have done a great job. It started off as a 2-day event, went to a 3-day event, and now is a 4-day event. So great job on expanding that over the time. I know you guys have had a lot of years, but you guys do an amazing event. I know you see people come in now, they make a whole week out of it, which is something that's really pretty cool. Love to see the kite. That I can see that envisioning of the kite in 20 years. So it's really cool. You guys do a great job. I don't personally have any questions. Aaron, do you have any questions for Ken?
I was just curious, Ken, and actually I meant to ask Sean with the Kite Festival as well. What is your overall gross budget needed to put on the event?
It's approximately close to $50,000.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So you're looking for about 5% of that from us in donations. Yep. Okay.
Also, I'd like to add is that nobody on our board is paid also. It's all volunteer throughout the year. And actually, as you know, as a volunteer, it does cost you some money, but it eventually it will. But I just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Ken.
Taylor.
I don't have any questions, Ken. I just wanted to, I haven't always had this opportunity, but I wanted to point out that your dedication in this city for events like this and with the police force is just phenomenal, and I hope that people pat you on the back for these kind of things, Ken, because people like you make this place like it is, and I congratulate you. And also I wanted to point out that usually you guys do feeding up at St. Timothy's. And I think it's phenomenal that that church with that location offers those facilities, and I wanted to point that out to the public.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate the
good points,
comments.
Taylor. So stick around, as you saw. And if you can't stick around, Brent can connect with you.
Yeah, I will. I can stay until about 5 to 10, but I'll appreciate it. Thank you ever so much.
No, thank you again. Like Taylor said, you've done a great – your dedication is what's made the event so successful.
Thank you so much.
So thanks. Okay, Brent.
And next we will have Morro Bay Bands on the Run.
Good morning. I'm Jairus Greenblatt, and I'm the current president of the Music Boosters at Morro Bay High School, which also incorporates Loam's Middle School. And I've never done this before, so do I just give you our spiel? Okay. Well, thank you for inviting us to the meeting, and we just want to say we're grateful for the support the past 2 years that you have given us and that we could be considered again. We are a nonprofit organization of parents and community members, and as you know, fundraising is not easy. Our parents are often spread between 2 or 3 different schools, all reaching out, asking for their support in one way or another. So we have worked hard to develop a few strong fundraising events that will allow us to focus on a few events and not constantly be harassing parents for donations. It's just a wall that we're running up against, and so we're trying to be creative in ways to work with the parents and get their support. Currently, we are doing 4 major events, which is the Avocado Margarita Festival. We do holiday trees, wreaths, and poinsettia sales. The silent auctions that we have at the concerts that the kids do in the spring at the PAC, and then Bands on the Run. Our current wish list that we have from both the band and choir directors exceeds $96,000, and that is for if they could do, and this is their plan B, the programs that they're asking for, and that would require money beyond what the district is able to supply them. Without what we have done last year, just to round it off, we're at about $50,000 in receipts from our efforts. So we are really trying to expand and look where we can find growth without having to add a lot of different events. We think we can get growth from the Margarita and Avocado Festival because we know it's planning to move and it will expand. And if we continue to provide the volunteers, we feel like we can get growth there. Bands on the Run is the big area where we think we can get some growth. We currently are at around 300 participants, and we think that is a lack of our being able to get the word out. The marketing so far has just been limited to postcards and some posters that we put up around town and in Bakersfield. We have a website, but we haven't, well, last year we put $200 at the last minute into getting some social media done because we did not see the increase that we were looking for. And working with Travis Ford this year, we're he's putting together an effort to expand our social media, our television, and our radio coverage so that we can reach a much broader audience, because we feel that with the other events that are in this county, you're looking at, you know, an average of 1,000 to, you know, much greater numbers in the runs that they have. And we feel that we can, right now we're reaching for 1,000. And if we have 1,000 come, that would increase our profits to $20,000 more. So without a lot extra effort. But in order to do this, we need to apply a real marketing and advertising social media outreach, which Travis has given us an amount of $3,500, which is, we haven't whittled it down or anything. I put it in the budget just at the full amount. So that is all new money. And so our plan is to use this marketing strategy, and we believe that with this, you know, the growth can, you know, will be advanced, where if we don't use it, the growth will just be slow, and we think that the run will just go by the wayside. So we're looking for new levels of investment from our sponsors, and we're reaching out for you. We need you to help us with this. On the win-win side, we know that by having the increased people coming from outside of our area, it would increase the amount of people, the traffic coming into restaurants and into the hotels and into shopping. So our goal is to, you know, reach beyond our local area, because that's where we're getting at probably about 85 to 90% of our people right now. If you're looking at the recap of last year, there's nothing to get excited about. It's pretty flat to the year before, and you can see that we have a lot of potential based on being able to, you know, jump in and really push hard at this year. And so we just really appreciate being considered. And one thing I want to say is we're lucky in the event because of having the school. It doesn't cost us any money to have the event on the property. We do get permits and insurance, but we're very lucky to have that venue, and it's, you know, a beautiful venue. We are also very lucky that everyone who works the event is a volunteer, and that all the entertainment is volunteer. So the costs are quite static, so we're happy about that. I don't know if you have any questions for me.
Thank you. Aaron, do you have any questions?
Yes, Jairus. Firstly, thank you for coming and presenting and just talking about your event. It does sound like a really lovely one. You mentioned a moment ago about you anticipate 1,000 visitors. Is that what you said?
That's our goal, and we feel it's very reachable considering right. How many registrants are in the other runs that are more established in the area, that we feel that I don't know if we can get to 1,000 this year, but I think that we can easily get the race to where we could have 1,000 people registering for it.
In maybe a couple of years' time to get to that point, or?
I have to say it could be, because I'm not a marketing expert. I'm an apparel manufacturer.
Okay.
but I give credit to Travis in that I know and I believe that he will put together something that would bring us a return on the investment. All the money that we spend belongs to the students. So if we go out and spend, say we spent the $3,500, we have to have a
return on investment.
That would be a minimum of $3,500, which would not be a win. So for us, we are looking to that we need to see a double in the return. So, and I've talked to Travis, and we've talked about different methods of how we can do things in chunks and track it to make sure that we are earnest stewards of that money. This isn't an event where we are going and asking for money and we can go out in a flamboyant mode and put the word out. We are still stewards of this money, and anything we spend that we don't get back, you know, we've basically stolen from the kids. And with me being president, you know, that hangs heavy on me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I have one question before I turn. How many registrants did you have last year? Was it?
I think it's 274.
Okay.
I want to say.
Yeah, the
I want to say
273 on here.
104 are from town, and you know, and then the big chunk that's from outside of the area that's not from town are still relatives, so they're not supporting as far as the hotels and the restaurants and all of that. So we really need to reach out to the runners clubs and to, you know, I mean, we're set up for all of that, but we don't have the push that gets the word out to them. We've got it all the groundwork's done and we're there, but we have to drive people to come find out about our event.
Okay, great. Sure. Yeah, go ahead, Taylor.
I just wanted to point out that it's a reoccurring topic about we have all these volunteer groups putting on these events, trying to raise money. And when you look at the numbers, you know, what you're saying is it could do better. 1,000 people is a great goal, I think, for you right now. But $5,000 with a net profit of $12,000, we're almost giving you half of what your net profit, and then you take all that time of the volunteers and all that. The city and the TBID and everybody should support it being more money, because we could give you $5,000 today and reach half of that, the net. You see what I mean? Like, we're already money-wise, doing better would be benefit us all. So I definitely want to keep that in mind, because I'm going to bring something up later on that topic.
Well, absolutely. And basically, the $5,000 number came from me. And if you look at my little budget that I threw together, because I found out about this the night before I had to turn it in, I felt like we had to partner with you. And so if we put it out that we would raise $5,000 on our own and ask you for $5,000, then it's kind of, in my mind, it's more of a matching thing, that we're willing to do that effort and not ask you for more than we're willing to bring. But the more people that we get and the more return on our advertising dollars and our outreach, yeah, it's a win-win for all of us, and especially where we can, you know, tie in all of the businesses in the community, you know, and have the links and all of that set up and get that fed. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for all your time. Stick around. Just for the record, it's 9:38. I want to note that Charlie Yates just arrived for the meeting. So thank you, Charlie, to be here. All of us board members. Okay, so.
So next we are going to be having the Central Coast Maritime Museum talking about the San Salvador.
Good morning. I'm Judy Salamaca, resident of Morro Bay, and a brand new board member for the Central Coast Maritime Museum Association as of February. So Larry Newland, our president for 20 years, had to work in San Luis Obispo, so he couldn't be with us today. Last month, you heard about the opportunity that we being Morro Bay, has to host the San Salvador, which is Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo's Spanish galleon that has been built by the San Diego Maritime Museum. They started building it in 2013. There are millions that have gone into this Spanish galleon that will be a traveling, touring classroom. The San Diego Maritime Museum wanted to particularly build this ship because it is the ship in 1542 that discovered California, sailed into San Diego, and then ultimately sailed up the California coastline. And Juan Cabrillo is actually purported to have named Morro Rock. So we have a direct affiliation with this ship and now a partnership with the San Diego Maritime Museum. I gave the board a proposal last month. I've revised it slightly because there's been some new information that was available just during this month. The vice president and president of the San Diego Maritime Museum requested to come and visit with Morro Bay because they were so excited about what we were doing and the collaboration that we were developing with the community to be a port host for the San Salvador. We were hoping to be able to get 10 days for the visit, but we have 5 days that will be coming up October 19th through the 24th. That remains basically the same as discussed before. The intent and the partnership is for the San Salvador to be available for tours, both for eventually school tours, and but for public tours, this maiden run. This will be the first time the San Salvador will be touring California. So it's historic, it's a first, and Morro Bay is one of two of the sites that will have an extended stay of at least 5 days. So we're very honored to have this. And when the president and vice president of the San Diego Maritime Museum visited at the end of February, we had more than 30 organizations between the city, the retail, the restaurants, come out over a 3-day period and visit with them and express their excitement about their visit, but as well the opportunity for the Maritime Museum to actually kick off a fundraising campaign that would be then a living historical interpretive center for Morro Bay's history, maritime history, military history, as well as its fishing village culture. The needs that we have, the investment that we're asking for today is $1,200 a day for the 5-day period that they're going to be here, so $6,000. That would cover the cost of the having the ship here, the sponsorship, the availability of the touring. They will be at the South T Pier, which will be different than the other tall ships that have been coming down, and this side of the Embarcadero is the north side of the Embarcadero. The restaurants were very, very excited that they're going to be coming. And in fact, when we hosted the San Diego people, the Great American Fish Company, Tognazzini's, Harbor Hut, and on the Papagallo, so all of them participated, in Stacks, so all of the restaurants there participated in an event by donating some of their signature dishes in order to express how excited they were that they were coming. We thought the request was for more rooms, but I revised it so that there really is, they only need one hotel room, and either a hotel room or a vacation home. Basically, it's for showering and for washing their clothing while they're here, because they will be staying on ship. And then there is no change. The partnership of creating a collaborative campaign to outreach us the typical markets that you recommend that we bring in the visitors to come in for that weekend. We still want to do that. What has changed is the San Diego Maritime Museum intends to have a template for us to be able to work with. So we will have materials, or at least we'll have digital file of materials that we will then create our own port host signature to, and work with Brent on doing that. And the last thing is that the intent of having them here, the statement when they were here, and what we heard that we were very excited about is that the intent is they will be back every year. So this will be, we want to do an over-the-top exciting event for them, so that not only are they here for 5 days, but in the future we have 2 anchor weekends, so 10 days over 2 weekends that we can have the San Salvador here with even more school tours, more teacher tours, more visitor tours, and of course more overnight stays during 2 weekends. So we are excited about it. The ship can actually accommodate it smaller than the tall ships than we've had before. But they say that they can accommodate about 2,500 people per day. And of course, there will be a charge for that. There will actually be 2 sails, a sail from Old Sacramento to Morro Bay that people can buy passage for. And there will be a sail out of Morro Bay to Santa Barbara or to the Channel Islands where Cabrillo was buried. So that's still there. They're still trying to figure it out. So you can both of those can be purchased. And the Central Coast Maritime Museum will be kicking off by having 1 or 2 events that will be the public will be invited to. Private tours and a big celebration to kick off the campaign to build our first building in 2017 at the site that is currently the boats, the fleet, the submarine have been moving in the last month. So it's a very exciting time. It's an event that is really 2-prong in that the San Salvador would come annually, and on the ground we will actually have the Maritime Museum of Morro Bay and the Heritage Village going forward.
Thank you, Judy.
And on top of that too, there's a lot of great excitement around bringing in San Salvador, especially from the business community. There's talk about perhaps doing a maritime week or a maritime month.
Yeah.
So
with the Harbor Fest on one end,
right.
and the and, surfboard,
and really doing that whole celebration
of
Morro Bay and the harbor. So
a total community collaboration, which I'm very excited about.
Okay, we'll go around and ask any questions. Aaron, any questions?
I love the tall ship events. I remember back in the late 80s and early 90s when the Sir Francis Drake would come into town here. That was always a tremendous amount of fun. Because we do have some of that previous data, do we have an estimation of how many out-of-town visitors an event like this will garner per day, per event?
It's really hard to compare the tall ships because they do dock in a number of different areas throughout California. It's definitely a draw. I think one of the biggest benefits in having the San Salvador, I don't mean to like do my plug, but I think that it could actually build and develop into something that's very, very special to Morro Bay. And because the tall ships, they do come in, you can tour. There are some educational programs. They typically will do, you know, the mock battle, but I think they're looking at actually growing it into something a little bit larger than that. The biggest appeal actually on a tourism standpoint, granted for the first year or so, bringing in different school groups. You know, they are looking at doing local school groups, but I think that's a real huge benefit to be able to look at, experience, modify what those school groups will experience. And I think eventually it could actually grow into bringing in outside field trips, which will incur like overnight rooms and bring in additional revenue. I think ships just in general are a big draw to any visitor coming in, especially for international. This has a really historic connection to Morro Bay. And I think on a PR standpoint and as well as an international standpoint, it could be a real big, huge benefit for Morro Bay.
Thank you both. Judy, will you be out there with an eye patch and a sword yourself as part of the event?
I have asked former Mayor Janice Peters if maybe we can have a repeat of the Pirates and Mermaid Fest, you know, parade or something. But no, I'm not going to do the patch.
Okay.
I'll do a hat.
There we go.
Thank you, Judy.
I had a quick question before I turn it over down the mic. So it's 10 days.
This year it's 5.
Oh, this year's 5. Okay, that's what I – because I was getting confused going, looking at my calendar, things weren't driving. So this year's 5. We're hoping to grow it to 10.
Yes.
And they are committing to it being potentially an annual thing. Obviously,
yes.
Money would need to be there annually. Mm-hmm. We would see you annually, but okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great event, too. I love the educational side of it as well, and I know the tall ships are a lot of fun. I've actually went out and done the mock thing. This is kind of cooler with the Morro Bay history. So.
And they built a village, actually. When they were here, we walked the T-pier, and they will the dock, when people board, it will be sort of like Disneyland.
Oh, how
in
cute.
That there is a village that they walk through and learn about the San Salvador before they actually get onto the ship. So they will come in Wednesday evening and start building that early Thursday morning. So that'll be an extra attraction. Plus the Maritime Museum by then will have the submarine, will have the Alma, which had the history of that was with the Montebello, and it was sunk, and the Alma went and rescued the people off of the Montebello when it was hit by and knocked, you know, during the war, sunk.
Yeah.
And so we'll have that for people to be able to tour. Plus, we're talking, as Brent said, to organizations that will have other activities going during that time, too, to be attractive for more than just the particular going onto the ship.
Great. Thank you for joining their board, too. They've got a great asset there, so thank you.
Thank you.
More volunteers that we talk about. Taylor?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I'm hugely supportive of this, as you know, and linking Sacramento, us to Sacramento and to San Diego is giant for me. I also wanted to point out that for me, I'm looking at the long game here for Morro Bay and our waterfront, you know, our investment in an aquarium and our maritime museum in the new form of the Harbor Festival focusing on the fishing industry. These are things that are monumental for our waterfront and as a tourist attraction. So it's not necessarily about the money made this year or the data returned this year. It's the long game for me. And I just think that this investment is without a doubt very good. So thank you, Judy.
I have to admit that I got a little teary-eyed when the people, the president, vice president, were here, because they actually stated they were going to help us with the Maritime Museum, guide us, and be partners with us. And I thought that was very exciting that they would commit to that.
Hi, Judy.
Good morning.
I just think this is just a opportunity that we can't pass on, and it fits our charge to bring in, you know, off season. This is just an amazing opportunity. I have growing up in San Diego, I spent a lot of time on the Star of India and a lot of the vessels down there, and mm-hmm. actually attended dances, high school dances, on some of these big giant ships. So the San Salvador, of course, has such an amazing. I was watching. I went to San Diego and was watching them build this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a iconic Morro Bay ship, in my opinion. It brings to us just the greatest collaboration with the Maritime Museum, which is going to get our Central Coast Maritime
going.
They mm-hmm. will provide great assets for us as well. They mm-hmm. have warehouses full of stuff that they would love to help us with. So if I could make a motion to approve this, I would like to make a motion to approve this.
Yes. You said earlier, Charlie, we're going to do them all at the end.
Thank you.
So, yes, but we're with you. Okay,
you.
So stick around in case we have any last-minute questions. As you know, we're going to divvy up the money here at the end. This might be the last one. Oh, no, we have one more.
It is. The next presentation is a separate presentation.
Okay.
But just kind of keep in mind there is $24,000 to be able to allocate amongst the five requests. Madam
five.
Chair, we have the San Luis Obispo County Cow Parade, so
the
that
Cow
would
Parade.
Also come okay. out of that. Those funds as well. Because of time, I'm wondering if you could maybe discuss the Cruisin' Morro Bay Car Show. I do know that Ken Vesterfeld it does have to leave, and so
yeah.
I don't know
I think
if you
we're ready
start
to go right
that.
Now and
okay.
just get this
Perfect.
Going. Hopefully everybody's looked over the cow sponsorship so we understand that that's money that we may or may not. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So anybody want to get us started? We have these four plus five. I'll start with you then. You're ready to go. Go.
I already got my votes figured out on this. I'm totally in support of everybody that came and spoke today for full funding on everything you asked for. And since I've already decided on that point, I just wanted to point out that when we're looking at the future of Morro Bay and events, I think that you can see that we have a history of volunteer committees. And these volunteer committees need the support of the TBID and the city. And what we're starting to realize is that they need the support of coordinators, and that needs to be something we need to discuss into the future for the long term of these events, especially when you're looking at an event such as the Bands on the Run, which benefits our kids and music. I mean, no brainer, but at the same time, when you're looking at the net profit of $12,000, we're investing $5,000, that's like, what, doubling our money. We could just give them $5,000, and then if you had 100 people, give $70 each, that would be the rest of that money. So my point is, and I was bringing this up when you spoke, is that we as a city and as the TBID, we need to invest in event coordinators and marketing to help these events do better so that their volunteer committees are sustainable. And that needs to be a topic that we need to discuss because you've got the Harbor Festival, the 4th of July, you've got the Emergency Car Show. You have all these volunteer committees. They need to be supported, and this needs to be our long game. That's all I have to say.
I love starting with you. Okay. Charlie, comments? Sorry, you're new.
Well, I know that one of the things, and you and I may butt heads on this one, but hiring coordinators is a pretty expensive thing, and I think that one of the things that we should really look at in this model, and I, you know, you and I will have some, we'll have some discussions regarding this, is what is our true role? Are we to hire? Are we going to be hiring more people and more staff to manage events for other people? Or do, you know, I it's being a volunteer and raising your hand and being that chairman of an event like the Harbor Festival or the Avocado and Margarita Festival or any of the kite festivals is a really difficult and time-consuming task. You know, having put on large events myself, I know that it can really consume you. So it is a difficult thing, and I think that it's something we really need to really think about going forward is how do we make them successful? It's not just giving them money. You know, how can we support them? And figuring ways to get people to volunteer and finding the best of our community to stand up and say, I'll do this. That's what we're looking for. So, but I'm very supportive of all of these.
Aaron?
Agreed. Now, I know we're only allocating $24,000, which is pretty much the remainder of our event budget for this year. Of course, we're already discussing the 2016 and 2017 budget.
Yeah.
What? Am I incorrect?
No, you're correct.
Okay.
I was just saying on this one, it's only 18.5 for
$24. Right.
Right, but we have $24,000 in reserve of our event budget. I know it's a discussion we're all having for the 2016 and 17 budget is how much of us are event committee versus our actual bylaws being strictly about promoting heads and beds for tourism, which is the designation for the TBID and why it was created. So on a smaller scale subject, just to speak to these events in front of us right now, we know they're looking for funding right away. I believe in all of these here in front of us, it is $18,500 we'd be allocating if we did give funds to all of them as they request. That would leave us $5,500 left over in our reserve. And then, of course, then there's the Cal Parade discussion on the back end, and $5,500 is kind of a moderate donation for them. It's kind of a larger dollar amount they look for to put us on the map there. So if we were to fund all this, we do have a little bit left. One question I had for you, Brent, is I know we're kind of wrapping up this fiscal year, but do you anticipate any other things coming our way? Because we could pretty much spend all of our money right now.
No, not within this fiscal year. We did want to try to address some of the funding issues, funding requests from events specific to San Salvador, because it is an October event. They do need to know if there's actually going to be an investment early on. Kite Festival, it's a little bit late in the game, but because we didn't have an opportunity to create that event grant funding process, early enough, it was a reach out to the different events to say the ones that we have supported in the past, the ones that we knew that were coming up at least this first half of the year between January and June. So we do have actually all of the requests in front of us. Okay. I don't foresee any other requests. Next month is the annual stakeholder meeting, so there will not be a specific meeting, and then that gets us into May and then into June. So
we're pretty much there.
Essentially, we are done.
So you would consider this an exhaustive list. With the Maritime Museum in San Salvador being in October, would that then roll into next fiscal year's budget, or do we spend it now?
No, the board would either gift those dollars to funnel over into the next year.
Okay.
Or a check could actually be cut within this fiscal year. And it's actually cleaner to just cut the check in this fiscal year versus then gifting it.
Allocate the funds now,
correct.
Spend it now,
correct.
Get it off the books.
Yep.
Okay.
Charlie, I like you because I agree. I love events. I've always said, though, we are not an event board. We're here to support them. I think a coordinator is needed in a bigger picture. How we support that is weird. So it's nice to welcome that. I know this guy who I love here next to, we've battled on this one, so it's nice to see someone. It's hard from the hotelier standpoint. We do look at heads and beds. We look at what, I agree, these events all fit Morro Bay's character and what we are as a city, which does hopefully promote heads and beds in the long term. So for me, what I'm looking for to move us forward is a motion to allocate the funds as listed. And then we can get into any further discussion if it needs to be changed. But I'd like to see a motion on the table to get us moving forward. These total, Kite Festival, $5,000, Morro Bay Car Show, $2,500, Maritime Museum, $6,000, and Bands on the Run, $5,000, total $18,500. I have some own personal issues. I've sat on the events grant probably all 5 or 6 years. I'm not going to lie, being a hotelier hat, some of these are not heads and beds. I really would like to see Bands on the Run go out and really push for out of market. When you look at all of this is a very local event. I think it can be expanded. It is Memorial Day weekend, which is a very busy weekend for hoteliers. But we still have vacancies on Friday nights. So, I'm wearing kind of both hats. I'm a local. I have kids over at Loam's. I want to see it supported. So I'm supporting it. But I do want to see that money really pushed to get the heads and beds, because my role right here as a hotelier is heads and beds. And this money is coming from TBID. It's not coming from next year's money where we've got the general fund money coming in. I know all of the money's everybody's. We're all about the city, so I'm going to get yelled at for that one. But I do have a role here as a hotelier just to say, and I support it. I think it's great, and I'm not going to not vote for it. But I do want to see us try to really push, work with Travis, get some social media out. Like you said, that can probably grow to 1,000 people easily, Can you come to the mic real quick? Sorry. If you're not on the mic, it doesn't get recorded to the public.
I just wanted to add that the budget I did was based on 400 registrants, because I did something that I thought, if we didn't get the grant, this is something that I can present to our board of people working on the project. And so when I do the numbers, if we got to 1,000, that's $20,000 more. So we have, a lofty goal. That is our goal. But the budget was done on 400.
And while you're still up at the mic, too, we can actually help serve, and we have promoted the Morro Bay Bands on the Run through the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau, and we will continue to do that. There are some great things and how we can collaborate specifically on the marketing to extend that a little bit more. So I definitely would love to sit down with you and Travis, because some of my background is actually in the fitness education, which we did some things with different races and et cetera. I think also, too, we have a great partner with the Morro Bay Triathlon, and just working with those folks over the years, perhaps that we can do some collaboration and do some things collectively and maybe kind of pick their brains, too, because they have great numbers for the triathlon. And so we can learn from each other and help each other out. So,
well, I really welcome that and appreciate that, because being in the clothing business, I can tell you that reaching into the social media pool, you can take your numbers and you can see a 5,000% return in a very short period of time. And we're not selling things on the internet, but we're still attracting and reaching out to people and trying to draw them in. So I know that, you know, it's unlimited. We don't know what we can get until we start working that avenue. So thank you.
No, thanks for all your time, too. And sorry just to rant on my hotelier board. Any further? Yeah, let's get a motion on the table, please.
I would like to make a motion to approve the funding as requested for the Kite Festival for $5,000, the car show for $2,500, the Maritime Museum San Salvador for $6,000, and Bands on the Run for $5,000. Total funds allocated would be $18,500.
I'd like to second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you for all your volunteerism out there, guys. You guys do a great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Now that we got through that.
Can we get somebody from AGP? We do have a presentation that we do need to set up, so perhaps we can maybe take a couple-minute break.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So they're going to go ahead and set up that presentation. Now that we have Charlie here and we have a full quorum, because there's been a little controversy on quorum with three or four, just to be safe, hopefully, Charlie, you've read the minutes from February 11th, 2016. It was our advisory board special meeting. I'd like to go ahead and have a motion to approve those minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes. As stated.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion. Any opposed? None. Okay. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you, Brooke. Just because we've had that problem before.
It's a good idea, Brooke.
I will do kind of a little short introduction, but then I'll give you a comment.
Super. And yeah, I apologize.
No, so much.
make sure. Did this already play? Did it play through the video?
No, I haven't. I was watching. Oh, so you might have to actually start it. Yeah, the video's on the first page. Just click it to get it to you.
Oh. I have not heard from any of them. I know that they Hey Tom, for the sake of time, can we? Do you have something that you can do, maybe not having the presentation? Because they do have the information actually in front of them on the sponsorships.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely can.
Okay.
I can walk through it.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna be starting here.
Okay. We're ready. I want us out of here, boys. All right. Hi. Apologize for messing up your agenda.
Hang on for a sec. We're still.
No. Okay. Good.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. We're back.
So, Michelle and the rest of the board, thank you for patience here. Thank you, AGP, for trying to get the video and presentation. We do have Tom Halen. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing your last name
you are.
Correctly. Tom Halen has reached out to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau as well, City and TBID, to be able to do this presentation, and so I'm very happy that he's here today. I do have some knowledge of the Cow Parade when I lived in the Midwest. They actually started the Cow Parade in Kansas City. They've had it in Minneapolis and St. Paul and Chicago. I think this is one of the first times that I'm actually seeing it here on the West Coast, but I've only been here for about 3 years. So I'm going to have Tom kind of explain a little bit about the opportunity and what impact that will actually make on a countywide basis as well as for Morro Bay. So without further ado, Tom Halen.
Thanks, Brent. Appreciate it. So Cow Parade actually started in 1999 in Chicago. Since that time, and Chicago had 350 cows, and these cows are life-size cows made of fiberglass that are painted or sculpted by artists. Since 1999, it's been in continuous exhibit really around the world. So it's been dubbed the largest and most successful global public art exhibit. It's been in 80 cities and 30 countries since 99. It's raised some $30 million for charities globally. There's been over 5,000 cows created by some 6,000 or 7,000 artists. It's been in California one time. It was in La Jolla, actually, in 2008, right at the bottom of the financial crisis. So they had one of the smaller herds in Cow Parade history, which I believe was just over 30 cows. We solicited Cow Parade, and there is a Cow Parade corporate offices in Connecticut, and a business partner and myself solicited Cow Parade to bring it to Slo County. And a lot of people ask us, well, why did you want to bring it here? So number one, my business partner is a third-generation dairy farmer. He saw the original Cow Parade in Chicago. I've seen the Cow Parade in New York, and we thought it was an amazing project. He specifically went to Chicago with his wife and his mother-in-law and spent 4 days looking at painted cows. We know that San Luis Obispo County has a very rich heritage both in dairy and cattle farming. And while Cow Parade is typically in major metropolitan cities around the world, we thought this was a great juxtaposition of being able to bring painted cows to an area that has bovine heritage and having them displayed in and around the county. So that was our outreach to Cow Parade. They vetted us, and they agreed to allow us to do what is only the second, what I'll call, rural installation in Cow Parade history. The other installation was in Margaret River region, Australia, which is sort of South Australia on the Indian Ocean side. And coincidentally, their region, very similar to ours. It's got a coastal area. It's got a wine-growing region. And so it's almost a sister city component or sister region component to Slo. And so so part of our presentation is to just tell you about Cow Parade and then tell you what we're looking to do at each community level. As you can see from the display, it's highly interactive. It's highly visual. I noticed on the way driving here, I live in Slo, I noticed that you have a giant billboard taking pictures of Morro Bay. So this actually is a perfect segue into that type of opportunity where people become highly engaged in the cows. They want a selfie with them. They want a hashtag with them. They want to go explore them. And our objective is to have 101 cows for Highway 101 throughout the county. So we're talking from Napomo all the way to San Simeon and having these cows displayed throughout the county. So talk a little bit about visitorship. So we came up with some numbers based on two particular events that have happened of more recent. So North Carolina did a event in 2012, and then obviously Margaret Rivers was in 2010. Both regions have expressed to us that they saw visitorships in the neighborhood of 500,000 visitors over the course of their Cow Parade. What we found interesting is that the typical Cow Parade is on exhibit for 3 to 4 months. We negotiated with Cal Parade to have our exhibit run for 7 months. So we're almost doubling the amount of time. So our event will launch September of this year. The cows will be on display through April of 2017. Our primary reason for doing that is as we began outreach within the communities, we did get a large interest from the other T-Bids and even some wineries, and they all expressed that we have plenty of events during high season or the summer season, and it would be great to have something of this magnitude in shoulder season. So we went back and talked to Cal Parade about could we lengthen the time, and so we really have dovetailed this particular event to be right in shoulder season. So right now we're looking to do a launch. September 16th and 17th would be our official launch date, and then we would run it through the again through April of 2017. Another component of Cal Parade, well, I'll go back to visitorship, sorry. So if you look at what both regions have reported in their experience, they're talking about anywhere from an 11 to 18% increase in visitation during the Cal Parade event. Margaret River specifically said that they had in excess of over 100,000 visitors specific to Cal Parade that came to their region. Additionally, they also reported that their average stay nights had increased some 15 to 20%, which they came out with 3.8 nights. That also comports with, if you look at what they call, cultural and heritage tourists. There's two components that studies have shown, in particular in the U.S., is those type of tourists have a higher spend and they stay longer. So this is exactly the type of event that a cultural or heritage or art tourist looks for to attend. And the fact that we have a substantial marketplace both in 5-hour drive makes this a great destination event for our county. Secondly, they had reported that their economic impacts from these events has been somewhere between 10 and 20 million. And, you know, not only is it outside visitorship, but you actually increase local visitorship. So you can also think about people who are local during 7 or 8 months now have the opportunity to go visit different areas within our own county to come see the cows. And that also brings in what I'll call local tourism, which a lot of people don't think about. But there are plenty of people, me being one, I've been here 4 years. There are plenty of areas in this county that I have not explored. This is a perfect opportunity for me as a local resident to go discover new areas within my own county. So this is kind of a highlight of our sponsorship details. And so a single cow sponsorship is $7,000. And people ask specifically, well, what is the $7,000 spent for? So the breakdown is really this. The actual cow itself, the fiberglass cow that's manufactured, is $2,000. That's a hard cost to the event. We pay artists $1,000 to create the artwork, so that's a stipend that they receive. We have to manufacture a large cement base as well as plaques for every cow. That is also roughly another $1,000, and that also includes freight and logistics, which is all handled by us from a production standpoint. And then the balance, which is roughly $3,000, is what we're using for marketing. So currently our marketing budget for this event is $300,000, which is significant. Of that marketing program, over half is for what we're calling 5-hour drive market advertising. I don't know if anybody's seen, but we started to run some local television ads with what we've deemed celebrities here in town within the county to promote the event. And we will continue to promote the event to these 5-hour drive market areas. So this is the homepage of the website that's been developed that we're starting to populate. It's all about cows. So we are going to have it's an interactive Google mapping on the homepage as part of the homepage. Every pin would represent where a cow is located. If you click on one of the pins, it will take you to the actual cow itself. Within that cow itself, you'll see a picture of the cow. Below that, on a scroll down, we'll have who the sponsor was, where the cow is located on the Google Maps specifically. It will give you a bio of the artist. There's a statement by the artist of why they created the cow they created. And then, in addition, below that, there is the There was a scroll down on who the sponsor was, again, with a hyperlink back to their webpage with a digital logo, as well as who the beneficiaries are, because there is a charitable component to this program. Specifically, the way the program works is after April, in May, the cows are auctioned off for local charities. So that's really a secondary component to this program. So we will have a gala auction in May where the cows are rounded up for one last time and then auctioned off, both through live auction, probably through some online auctioning, and even through some silent auctioning on cows to raise charity for our or to raise money for local charities. Specifically, we have three title charities that we have designated, and those are the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo, California, or of San Luis Obispo County, sorry, and they have specifically asked that any funds raised on their behalf go toward their Octagon Barn Restoration Project and the Bob Jones Trail Connector to Avila. The second organization is Arts Obispo, which is our countywide arts council. So they are one of the title charities. And then the third one is actually the CSMF Heritage Foundation, which stands for California State and Mid-State Fair. So they are also one of the beneficiaries to promote ag education and preserving agriculture within our county, specifically for the kids who do show animals at the fair, the FFA and 4-H. So because we know that this has a significant tourism draw, or we certainly have seen that in the past with these events, is we are on our website also developing two specific pages. So one is for all the bids that are participating. So there is a Play in Slow County page. So all the bids will have their logo on that page, along with hyperlinks back to their websites. And then secondarily, we have a Stay in Slow County page that we've developed. And those would, and that particular page would be a benefit to any hoteliers within the county that sponsor a cow. And then we're also looking at a secondary opportunity. They may be top-tier billing, which would be hotel sponsors. And then the secondary opportunity would be possibly to have some hoteliers at a lesser amount be a participating cow parade participant, and then they would have a lower-tier listing of their properties. And those images would link back to their reservation or their homepage, wherever they wanted the hyperlink to go back to help assist with people booking rooms during the event who are coming from out of area. This is just a general mock-up of what a plaque typically looks like. Every cow receives one. You can see Visit San Luis Obispo County is a significant sponsor of ours, so they are participating at a higher level. They aren't sponsoring cows directly, but they're helping with a significant marketing outreach, both local and out of market. But you'll see that every plaque has the name of the cow. So this mock-up is Gladys, is a cow that was painted for the town of Harmony. So the sponsor is the town of Harmony. It lists who the artist was, as well as it'll show the beneficiaries. Another component of our program is we have two components. The website will have for each of the benefiting charities a Donate Now opportunity through the website, so that we can continue to do fundraise not only at the charitable event or the auction, but also during the seven-month installation. People can either go to the website and donate to these charities, or on every cow there will be a text to donate opportunity as well, which someone could donate as little as a dollar to any of the nonprofits. One of the other things that we've done on the charitable side is, while we have designated three title charities, we are allowing sponsors to designate their own specific charity if they so desire, that is a slow county-based organization. So, for instance, the Paso Robles Inn has designated the Paso Robles Children's Museum as their beneficiary charity. So we have really tried to create something that's very inclusive for the county and not be exclusive as much as possible. One of the things that's very interesting that's just come up literally in the last week is, in particular for Morro Bay, this particular artist, Ted Emmerich, submitted to me a cow parade idea, and specifically he wants to do a mosaic cow and have the Morro Bay High School art students participate. Apparently he works with the art teacher or art teachers at Morro Bay High, and they've done several art projects over the years. I think I saw a picture of a surfboard, and I know Morro Bay did an art surfboard program, and it looks like they did a surfboard that had been mosaic tiled. So when I start to think about opportunities within a community, this one certainly made sense to me for Morro Bay from the perspective that not only is it related to Morro Bay, but specifically the high school students would be the participants who actually create the art. Happy to answer questions at this point.
Okay. Aaron, I've been starting with you. Any questions?
Tom, I was actually with the Slow City T-Bid when you came in the fall and kind of discussed this. I never heard of it before, went online. It seemed like kind of a goofy idea, to be honest. Everybody there was taken aback by it. But then after doing a little bit of research, it's a very well-organized event. Your online coverage is pretty substantial. The social media coverage is pretty substantial, and was surprised by that. So,
thank you.
Just for feedback for you guys, since I have had a little bit, and we've looked for some of our tells about, is this really going to be a return on investment for us? That's still a discussion that we're having right now.
Sure, understand.
That's all.
Taylor?
I don't have any questions. Is now the appropriate time for me to talk about what I want to talk about, or to hold off on that?
I think we're going to ask questions, then we'll go into discussion.
No
Charlie, do you have
here?
Any questions? No? Okay. I don't. Thank you for coming out and presenting. Stick around.
No,
oh, Brent's got something.
I have a question. You talked a little bit about hotel sponsorship, and I know that that's actually not within the levels listed within the materials that you provided. Are you guys looking at doing something as far as like a hotel sponsorship level or?
Sure. So really, the way we're pursuing it is we are talking to hotels directly to sponsor a single cow, which is $7,000 is certainly the easiest approach. I mean, our objective is to have 101 cows. So we know that some hotels have the bandwidth and the affordability to do that. So, you know, I use Martin Resorts and Noreen Martin and Paso Robles Inn. They have sponsored a cow specific for Paso Robles Inn. The artist already has the cow. As a matter of fact, something I didn't talk about is that sponsors also have the opportunity for an additional $3,500, which then gets earmarked for their charity, to keep the cow in permanent install. So Paso Robles Inn is sponsoring a cow as a hotel and is keeping the cow for their steakhouse. So hotels do have a direct ability to sponsor a cow, you know, and so we're talking with Dolphin Bay Resorts. We're talking with John King about some of his, obviously, you know, the one that everybody talks about, and we're in a sort of a larger discussion with Madonna about sponsoring cows more directly. So we do think that there is an opportunity for hotels who want to participate at an individual level beyond just the T-bid component. So we did create a special page just for hoteliers. That is not available to all the other businesses. So, for instance, Farm Supply is a sponsor, but we don't have a specific Farm Supply page. They get their recognition through the cow page, where it showed the picture of the cow, and then it lists all their sponsors and a link back to their site. So this was something that we did specifically because in exploring cow parade and trying to understand it, we saw that there was a significant tourism component, and so that's why we created these specific opportunities for hotels and the T-bids.
So, sorry, I have a few more questions. So, Tom, can you address to the board how many cows have been sold and which communities that they are going to be in throughout the county? Just
sure.
To kind of give an idea.
Sure. So we're probably right now in a little over, I'm going to say 43 cows so far have been sponsored. It's, you know, my motto has been a cow a day. So, you know, yesterday we got somebody who sponsoring a cow. I'm, you know, getting somebody today who's sponsoring a cow. So, you know, it's a cow a day kind of a concept. I will tell you that's really that's been important, and I think is something that's significant for all the communities within the county is I'll give you the T-bids who have not committed so far. Avila has definitively said no. Paso has said no. And the AG Edna Valley doesn't. I think the cow sponsorship alone is more than their entire budget. Every other T-bid has said yes. As a matter of fact, Atascadero said no and has just come back to me, and I met with them, and they are now sponsoring a cow. And I heard from Paso's T-bid admin and marketing person that they are now back in discussions about participating as well. So at the end of the day, my feeling is really at this point, the only TBID that really is not participating, and I always say no doesn't necessarily mean known today, is Avila. And, of course, Morro Bay, and I think that's just a timing issue in us getting in front of Morro Bay. So people always ask, well, what's the return on investment? And I said, well, it's always very difficult to say, right? I can give you what's happened in other communities over the course of the event. I can tell you about the success that obviously since 1999, 80 cities around the world have participated. I can tell you that right before ours this year, Surrey Hill, England is putting on an event. I also saw that Cal Parade had listed that Miami has signed up, but I don't know the dates. There's no date information on when they're signing up. So there's three or four events that happen a year, typically. Paris, it was a tri-city event last year in France. There was an event in Japan last year. So obviously it's successful, otherwise it wouldn't continue to do what it does. So, you know, I can only really give anecdotal, and then it's really up to us as a community to promote this and make it as successful as possible. And so we really look at it as a collaborative effort on our part. So I always say if you're not a participant, your community gets no benefit, right, if you're not participating. And people are going to drive from Cayucas right through Morro Bay to San Luis where there's cows. They're not going to stop in Morro Bay because they go on a – I call it people parade. I know they call it cow parade, but really people parade around looking for the cows. And with you know, with a Google mapping system and smartphones now, it makes it super easy for people to want to go adventure out and see cows all around the county.
So I do have a couple more questions, sure. But I think you might be able to answer this one, my dual. You talked about that there's a $300,000 marketing budget. Can you kind of explain, you know, you had talked about that half of that is going to be focused on, you know, 4 or 5 hours outside of the area, which is definitely appealing as far as like a destination. $300,000 to me is that's a huge budget. That's $42,000 a month that you can spend on marketing. Can you kind of maybe break down, are there some other administrative costs going to come out of that, or is it solely used for marketing?
So the budget does include some admin costs. Barnett & Cox Associates is our marketing agency. So, of course, there is a component to that that is their fee to help us put on this event. So when we talk about $300,000, but what we've seen with them, and this is obviously early stages, is if you've noticed some of our local outreach, is they are, frankly, very good at getting what I call $2 of ad for $1 of spend. So because of the nature of this event and because of the charitable component, they have actually been able to get double the spend for a dollar that we're spending. And I think that's a credit to them and their ability to negotiate and their media buyers who are, you know, fairly sophisticated as far as, you know, Slo County and other people who do this as a living. So when I look at the $300,000, and we have a detailed sheet, which I don't have in this presentation because it's letter size versus sideways for PowerPoint, but I'd be happy to send that on so you actually could see the timeline, specifically where dollars are being spent and how they're being spent.
Okay. I'm going to hold off on the last because it's really more for the board, but I do want you guys to have the opportunity to have
okay.
discussion. Thank you for answering my question.
Sure, you're welcome. Thank
you might want to hang up here because they might have some additional.
We may. Taylor's itching at the – he's got some ideas. So I'm going to start with him and then let us go from there.
Okay. So, all right. So I loved your presentation. I love Cal Parade. I've known about it for a while. We have the organization I work for has a club member who is an artist on one of your cows. The organization was also applied to be one of the charities for one of the cows. So I'm very familiar with it. I'm very much in support of it. I love the idea. I think it applies to a younger generation. I love the agricultural portion of it. I cannot say how I love the idea.
Thank you.
Okay? Okay, that said, when we get to dollars, I think that Morro Bay benefits from this being in San Luis Obispo regardless of Morro Bay getting a cow itself. Okay? Great for San Luis Obispo. Good job on that. The amount of money we have, in my math that I did roughly for this, we need $7,000 to get a cow. For me, I would really like to see us have $7,000 and get at least one cow. That's the goal if we're to support this. I don't see that we have $7,000 to do that. So that being said, I think that our board could possibly come up with 3.5, but that leaves us 3.5 short. I think that this is a project that should be supported because it's not necessarily just benefiting Heads and Beds, it's also, which is the T-Bid. It also benefits the city, the image of the city, the art industry of the city, which is very important for Morro Bay, and businesses in the city. So that means that if we were to put 3.5 forward, and we would need other groups to come up with the other 3.5, I think that the Chamber of Commerce could maybe come up with 1.75, and I think the City of Morro Bay could come up with 1.75, especially if they had donation from a charitable donator. That's the kind of program that I would support. I love the ceramic collage. I saw that very successful on a Cayucas surfboard fundraiser. It applies to our mission mural kind of art. If you've seen some of our murals, it's a similar kind of design. So I think that your pitch on that is excellent. But as far as the numbers go, that's where I'm hitting a block right there. I could support 3.5, but I would need to see the City of Morro Bay or a donator on behalf of the City of Morro Bay come up with 1.75 or more, and the Chamber would have to pitch in. But basically, we need another 3.5. Thank you.
Charlie, I'm going left to right.
I think that I support the event. I think it's really a cool thing to do throughout the county. I think that the high school, the arts program, and Morro Bay FFA could really benefit from it. I'm in agreement, though. We are short on money, so we need to collaborate to make this thing happen. I think that we can pull together, and I like what you're saying is, hey, if we pull together as a group, this thing can happen in Morro Bay. It really is going to be getting the information now in front of the chamber and the city and asking them to join in as well.
Aaron.
As I stated before, Tom, I think it's a really kind of an upcoming, possibly hip event. It's very well organized online. I love that facet of it. Our final budget dollars we have to spend for the rest of this year is $5,500. That's it. So there's just no way we can get the full cow for the $7,000. So I would like to just echo Board Member Newton's thoughts and Mr. Yates as well, that I would see reasonable to contribute $3,500 and see if the city, the Chamber of Commerce, or other entities want to match and then get Morro Bay full cow. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm in agreement. I think this is something more of a partnership. I don't see it all on the T-Bid standpoint. I think maybe we could lead trying to get the partnership out there. I have lots of questions, logistics about, you know, where's the cow going to actually be at? What local charity are we going to do to? Who decides? This, I love the off-season, so ditto, I really, really like that you are thinking that this is an off-season event, which is great for Heads and Beds and overnight stay, but I do see it more as a partnership thing. I don't see it as us taking on the full thing. You know, maybe getting the arts. I know that there's a lot of art here in Morro Bay, the high school, the chamber. There are some logistics. I mean, I know we've got till September, but that's kind of tomorrow in event world. So I know we need to kind of get moving on it. I'm not against it. I think it's great. I just, again, we're limited on funds and I don't want to see it come all out of hoteliers. This is going to be a city thing. So I think we need to get some better partners out there. And, you know, I think the chamber was a great idea. So I'm kind of dittoing this. I think at this point, we need to maybe send it back to try and get some partners to come up with some money to do it on a city side. I just don't see it being totally on there. I see Brent raising his hand, Charlie, before. So that's my two cents on it.
I think that we should approach, visit San Luis Obispo County and ask them. Do you think
they're contributing $30,000?
Thank you.
Well, actually, visit San Luis Obispo County has contributed $20,000 cash and $30,000 in kind.
Nice. I was just thinking for Morro Bay, if we could collaborate with them, that would be nice because they've got deep pockets.
Yeah, well, it looked like if they're already given 50. I think I loved the FFA. You know, this is a cow thing. So, you know, to me, just I get the tourism side and it's a parade, but I'm like, cow, Morro Bay. Like, Just I don't think of a cow in Morro Bay, but we do have. I mean, this is San Luis County, and cows are big in the county. I get that. So I think we need to reach out to get the high schoolers involved and the chamber involved and all of that. Brent is looking at me like, okay, zip it.
No,
so go ahead.
I want you to finish. So there's two things to really be thinking about. This is actually a countywide situation. Visit San Luis Obispo County is contributing in. I would love to have a conversation with Morro Bay and Bloom because the Surfboard Art Festival actually goes October through December. There could be a great opportunity to have a cow with a surfboard to maybe kind of enhance, both. But also, too, as far as the board, Aaron, you did indicate that we have 5,500. Do you feel that should we look at doing one cow, or should the T-Bid look at any entity in Morro Bay that wants to sponsor a cow? Could we contribute $1,000 and try to help support five cows versus just one cow? It's just some food for thought.
Any
I want
entity,
you to be thinking about that.
Entity or business?
It could be a business. It could be an entity here in Morro Bay. Is there a I'm not trying to put any hoteliers on the spot, but let's say ABC Hotel in Morro Bay wants to sponsor a cow. Could the T-Bid help support 1,000 of that, where it would be 6,000 for the entity to help support on the other side? So just I want to have that be some food for thought, because having one cow in a community, it has been kind of talked about. I've received a lot of emails on this. Does a cow make a difference? Will there be people coming in for just one cow in Morro Bay? I'm not saying that we should try to up that, but I mean, to me, if you're looking at making impact, you really do need to have more than just one.
Your feeling within the community, if we were to say designate 1,000 per cow, try to get multiple cows, is there enough interest to get
that? I don't know.
$21,000 worth of cows. That's a lot of beef.
Right. It is. But I mean, will a visitor just come in to Morro Bay if there's only one cow here? That's really just something to really be thinking about.
And it's tough because a lot of us just aren't that familiar with this concept and the draw of it. But the online is substantially well marketed, so I do think there's potential there, and the social media is strong.
I think one of the things is it's not up on our display, but we have specifically on that homepage there's a pull down that's called Cow Trails. And so we are, building specific trails based on what I call mini herds of cows. So, a natural, and some of it's going to be based on Google mapping of how it looks, mm-hmm. but a natural is a coastal trail. So, we have San Simeon, who's already sponsored a cow. We've got Cayucas with two, or with Cambria with two, Cayucas with one, Harmony with, we may have up to five or six. And then so if Morro Bay is a participant, even on a single cow basis, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm a proponent for cows, right? So I'm going to say the community that has the largest herd and the most concentrated designation is going to be the greatest beneficiary, because it makes it very easy for people to come to that community, right? But that said, if there's a coastal trail and you can think about taking a Saturday and driving the coast and running up to San Simeon and then just sort of hitting, let's say, a half a dozen or a dozen cows in a day, you do get some benefit from that perspective. Would I love Morro Bay to have six cows? Absolutely.
So, Tom, just a question. Is Los Osos, are they sponsoring?
They are, yes. They've already got their artists. They're doing
a bear cow. They have one. And then how about the city of SLO?
SLO T-Bid did two.
Okay.
Pismo did two. Napomo's doing one. Cayucas is doing one. Okay. San Simeon's at one. And Cambria's at two. All from T-Bid, basically. Although we will tell you that Napomo did find some private partnership to sponsor their cow, as you're suggesting, and Cayucas is doing the same thing. So their bid did not fund a full cow. They went out and did an outreach and found some partners to sponsor a cow.
I mean, in a way, I do see the capitalism there. Here's an advertising space, business entity. Does somebody want to sponsor and have their name on there and get greater exposure? Thoughts, Brent? Will there be traction?
I think just to a certain degree. And if we didn't, again, kind of food for thought, if we didn't do it at 1,000, could we do, can we up that to like 1,500 and, maybe have less? I just, on a destination standpoint, I always look at it like one, isn't always going to bring in. We did this in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and not to take away from the Cow Parade, they actually learned a lot from that experience. So what Minneapolis and St. Paul actually ended up doing in subsequent years, they did Charlie Brown around town, they did Snoopy around town and Lucy around town, and they actually saw a larger increase because in the Midwest there were actually a lot of cow parades within the Midwest. Chicago already did it, Kansas City already did it, so there were a lot of people who were exposed to that. You know, there's only been one here on the West Coast. So there could be a lot bigger draw, but when Minneapolis-St. Paul did more of a customized, because Charles Schultz is actually from St. Paul, we saw a huge, a lot larger increase, especially with the international visitor. So, I mean, but there had to be a higher concentration, and that's really kind of the point that I'm trying to make. Is a visitor going to, and I love the idea of, like, doing the trail, but is a visitor going to stop just for one? And where is it going to be? Because that's always the question.
So
okay. I got to get us pulled back in. We're spending 45 minutes on $7,000, you guys. I don't mean to be rude, but we got to get moving. So
I got a quick one.
Taylor's got a quick one, and then we're going to wrap this up. I've got an idea.
So on this whole, like, how many cows do we need thing, if Cayucas has got one and Harmony's got one and San Simeon's got one, I think that negates the idea that we need to have five cows to get people here. I think they're going to come here. I think that just by having the cows in San Luis, people still come to Morro Bay because Morro Bay is the best place to be in the Central Coast. Now, on top of that, I don't want to spend $5,000 on cows and get five cows. I'd rather limit it at 3.5. I'd be open to making a motion to earmark 3.5 of the 5.5 we have left for this. I'd also like to point out that I do think that we need to get sponsors such as the city, and I think a cow at City Hall would be awesome. And I forgot the other things I was going to say, so that's it.
Okay, so my two cents is I'd like to see this come back. I'd like to see us maybe outreach to see if we can get any partners in the community. I personally am not ready to earmark any money to it at this point. That's just me personally. I'm looking at the board because you guys can make motions, and I'm not the final sayer. But I'm not ready to put any money into this at this point until I see if there's an interest in the community. I know how hard it is getting money out there from everybody else, so I wouldn't want to even earmark anything at this point, but that's just my two cents. So if anybody wants to make a motion or get us moved forward, I personally just like to see this back.
I'd like to make a motion to reserve 3.5 of the remaining 5.5 for this project in hopes of getting sponsorship from a private donor, the City Hall itself, or possibly the Chamber of Commerce, so that we can get at least one cow here in Morro Bay to be on that coastal trail.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Further discussion?
Well, can I just add one? Basically, it's $3,500 will be earmarked contingent upon Brent getting a feel for how involved the community might wish to be. We can revisit this issue later.
That's what the motion can say.
So I'll second that motion.
Further discussion?
So this would be contingent on, really, we're tabling this. I understand that what you're trying to do, Taylor, is to get this money and hold on to it so we don't use it anywhere else. We're going to get a cow, in my opinion. We're going to figure a way to get a cow. I don't want to be left out, and I don't want to be the lone guy on the trail that people are not coming to. So I think that...
Does that mean that the Inn at Morro Bay is going to kick in?
Possibly. with collaboration, with collaboration.
Look beautiful in your lobby.
Again, I think that it's an opportunity that we don't want to pass on, but I think that we're really sort of tabling this for future discussion.
Precisely.
So I am for earmarking the money. I don't know about $3,500, but it can change. We can change this decision, correct?
But I have a question for Tom. What's the timeline deadline?
Well, so, you know, obviously our goal is 101 cows. So to the extent, you know, somebody stepped up and wanted to be a 100,000 sponsor and took, you know, 20 cows, I'm, you know, down to 30 or 40. And so it's whatever comes first.
But right? What is the deadline?
So our goal is to finish sponsorship drive through May. And that's really critical because... of the logistical components of selecting artists, getting the cow to the artist and giving them ample time to do the artwork. That's the part that starts to become really tight as the longer we extend out decision-making on sponsorship.
Because I'm going to go back to the board and say I have really concerns a lot with my time because our office is going to be moving. We have Amgen. We have the annual stakeholder meeting. My time is very thin to try to find other entities that are going to be interested. I hate to ever say no, but I really don't have the time to find those other entities to help support this. If we want to earmark, that's fine, but I just really don't have the bandwidth to be able to do that. So I just need to be honest with the board in saying that.
Yeah, because this is a big endeavor to try to get more money to go on. So there's a motion on the table. We're asking staff to do something that is going to be difficult to do. Unless you're going to have some volunteer board that wants to help out.
I've got a comment, and I think that this would be an appropriate joint venture, a collaboration with the Chamber of Commerce. I know that the new chamber leader is really interested in doing a lot of events and trying to coordinate events and doing things, and I think that this may be where we can work together with the chamber, possibly even to get the entire, you know, the rest of the money from them. And have them take over and work with businesses, other businesses other than hospitality, you know, to help this thing happen. So,
so motion's on the table. We have a motion that we are going to earmark $3,500 for a cow, go out and seek a partnership. I think then that we direct, since Brent doesn't have a ton of time, we go to the chamber. You make one contact and let the chamber take it on if they can get the other dollars. No, I think what we can reach out and say,
but the chamber is also helping with some things with Amgen too. So
right.
I don't want to commit another organization when they are not here to be able to.
I think
say
we just reach out to them and ask for them
we
if
could
they
definitely
can help
do
out.
That.
If they say no, they can't, then we're down, we're out, and we have our $3,500 back, and a cow doesn't happen.
And my suggestion is that we, Brent, with you, you know, with all that you've got to do, making that one. Approach, and I think that we approach the city as well. I think we do the chamber and the city and say, here's an opportunity to work with Morro Bay Tourism, the city, and the chamber together in a collaboration on this one cow.
So. And something that we didn't think about is could we earmark money from next year and take marketing dollars? No, we can't. Okay. So motion's on the table. We got to move forward. We're spending way too much time on $7,000, which is what drives me insane. Any further discussion? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. I'm sorry, boys. 3-1. It does carry, so I didn't hold you up. And we will see what happens. Hopefully we will see you back with a cow, at least one.
Absolutely. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay. So moving forward, now that we spent a ton of time on our cow parade, this is quick. This is our recommendation regarding annual stakeholder meeting roles, responsibilities, and our timeline. Hopefully everybody's reviewed this. It was sent out by Brent.
Brooke.
Brooke sent it out to us. It's our annual stakeholder meeting going on April 14th from 12 to 2 o'clock at the Inn at Morro Bay. Thank you, the Inn at Morro Bay, for hosting us. So everybody hopefully has had a chance to review all of this. If anybody has any questions or changes, now's the time to do it. Otherwise, I'd like to make a motion that we approve this. Brent, 2 cents.
Oh, yeah. Did you want me to go over? I really do want some more participation on behalf of the board. I think it's really important for the other stakeholders, especially the lodging stakeholders. Currently, we have 19 lodging stakeholders that have RSVP'd that are planning to attend the meeting. That is actually record numbers since I've been employed for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. You guys will actually have a kind of the official meeting. It will be a Morro Bay Tourism Bureau meeting, so you'll actually start it because the annual stakeholder meeting is in concert with the Bureau, not specifically the T-bid. So just kind of did a little bit of a layout here. I think the only new additions Since this has actually been sent out, we do have a representative coming from Visit California that will be a part of this. And then I also want to have a conversation with Sam Taylor, because as we're looking ahead, we do want to talk about some of the changes as far as like what's happening with tourism going underneath the city umbrella. I know that there will be some questions as far as that, but we do want to be able to talk about some of those things and some of those transitions. So, but as far as that, we are going to have representation from Visit San Luis Obispo County. Becky, who is the marketing director, is going to come and talk a little bit about the TMD. I know that has been a question on behalf of hoteliers and like what's actually happening out there. Val Seymour will also be a part of this as well. So Val's name didn't get to be a part of this, but she has confirmed that she does want to be a part of the presentation. So I think it's just really important for the lodging stakeholders to understand who you guys are, what your role is, what the role of the county. Who are those faces and who are those names where they can actually go to be able to answer questions? A big thing to me is always making sure that people are able to go to the source. I think a lot of times there's always a question, say, I don't know who to go to. So I think it's really important for the stakeholder meeting for people to understand, like, who can they ask? Who can they go to? Who's their person? Specific to answering questions about the county, who is that person specific to the city and who is actually specific to the T-bid. So, like I said, I think it's just really important. I do want a little bit more roles and responsibilities coming from the board as well to help, you know, greet, to be a part of it, you know, et cetera. So, any questions?
So hopefully everybody's reviewed what their role is going to be that day. Hopefully everybody will be there, is planning on being there. I know I read through it. I'm good with everything you've assigned me, so I'm good. I look for a motion to approve this unless anybody has any other questions for Brent.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the annual stakeholder meeting timeline and role scheduled for this coming Thursday, April 14th, 2016.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. Okay, now we're going to move on to discussion and recommendation regarding the marketing and public relations draft.
We are going to have Marianne Stansfield, who is our representative, to come forward from Mental Marketing, since this is going to be addressing what we're going to be doing in 2016 and 2017. I do want to preframe this in saying that this is a draft. This is, you know, obviously this isn't the full-fledged. We wanted the board to be able to understand some of the new things that they are presenting today. You know, obviously, there are some things in regards to events and things that we've done in the past. So we just really want to have you guys get a chance to hear and review, because this is a direction that we're looking at going. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit larger and a little bit more detailed out for the annual stakeholder meeting. But this is just to give you guys kind of a sense. That way you can give some feedback to say, do you like the direction? Do you want to see a little bit different direction? So I'm going to hand this over to Marianne.
Thank you. Thank you, Brent. Good morning. Thank you for having me today. We are really excited about what we're working on as far as the marketing plan for the next fiscal year. As Brent said, this is a draft. So if you kind of want to look at this as the bones, if you will, of the plan, there's still a lot of nuances and details that we do need to flesh out. And I realize, too, that downloading a 16-page document is a lot of information. So what I wanted to kind of go over today were some of the key highlights and kind of bring all of the different parts together, okay, and kind of a more overall approach to it. And then, of course, any questions and feedback are very welcomed to, you know, help us, you know, add more of what you guys envision into our plan. So I did a little just 3-page PowerPoint that goes over the key elements. So let me see if this thingamabob's going to work. There we go. Okay, community engagement is key. And I think we demonstrated that with our presentation that allowed us to win this account. And that was really engaging the community in the tourism outreach that's going to be taking place with Morro Bay. And that's definitely something new that we want to highlight and foster in every program that we put together. So how we plan to do that, actually I have my own draft here, is that we really want to share, like that, like the TV spot that we did at that presentation. I know, Charlie, you weren't there, but we really want people to have a better understanding and get a feel for what it's like to be a local here, which is one of the things that is so engaging about Morro Bay, is coming here and feeling like you're part of this amazing harbor village filled with fishermen and seagulls and activities and outdoor attractions. And we want to do that across all boards, right? So the way we kind of did a linear plan of the 16 pages was kind of breaking it out program by program. Here I'm kind of pulling it together to show you how we're going to do it. Social media, am I going backwards here? Let's see, how's this set up here? Okay, we want to share what it feels like to look like a local. We're going to do it through social media, seasonal promotions, creative execution, and a new program, a local guest blog program. And so through social media, I think we put in the tactics there about how we really want to work closely with local networks like Central Coast Women for Fisheries, all of the event promoters and their teams to make sure we're promoting all of the elements of Morro Bay at that local level. We also want to capture in all of the seasonal promotions, which I'll kind of go over a little bit, you know, what the elements are of each season and how we highlight what it means to be here during those seasons, what it feels like to be here during those seasons. The creative execution will also include locals and a local blog program, which was highlighted in the plan. Just to describe that a little bit, basically we've done this for several clients, and what that is we're using local community members, hoteliers, fishermen, retail tourism partners that actually live here, and we're going to work with them to write a blog, help them edit it, help them create it, and we're going to be creating new and valuable and that localism content, having that updated regularly on the website. So that people, when they go to the website, they can go to that blog and read blogs written by people who live here. So it's kind of the opposite of the out-of-market bloggers that we've been going after in PR. It's in-market bloggers telling the story of living here in Morro Bay. So that's one of the ways, another new way we're going to get the community engaged. The media plan that we put together is specifically for conversions. And we realize, you know, I'm not starting at the top with what the goals are, because I think you guys know what the goals are, and we establish those as well as the target audiences. So for our approach, our feeling, we have proven success going through using digital as a means for conversions and tracking conversions. And what I mean by conversions, it's not just the click-through rate that is, you know, very common and very important to understand your return on investment, to understand the engagement from the audiences that you're going after. But what we do is we really, here, let me go forward here. We really test and work with digital platforms that are proven. We're constantly looking for the best platforms to show us conversions, that show us tracking. So one of the examples in the plan was Ad Taxi, which is a fantastic program that is highly technical, that can eliminate bots, you know, the robots that click on stuff. That's not a person. So, you know, it's really highly technically driven so that when we know when somebody clicks on something, it is a person. And we can, through the use of pixels on the website, we can put pixels on your booking engine, and we can track how many people search your booking engine. I mean, we can report numbers that detailed. And so these digital networks that we've been using are providing us such amazing information on the profiles of the people that are coming to Morro Bay and interested in coming to Morro Bay. And we report that information to you through our analytics programs. So we have several of those that we're going to be doing. And then when it comes to campaigns for the digital portion, that's where we feel, you know, that's really where the calls to action are really important. We want people to act on our digital ads, right? So making offers that make people respond and have the act, you know, perform the act that we want them to, which is to click and then eventually book, comes down to that. So asking for their business is really important. And so I think we have some good ideas on how to get people to act. And when it comes to brand awareness, that's where public relations comes in. And we've been, you know, working with you guys for several years now. And magazines, newspapers, print, online, and digital publications are really where you can really grow your brand awareness. And it's, you know, people are smart. They know the difference between an article and an advertisement. And so we really, really are working those third-party endorsements to grow awareness. And I think we've seen the needle move over the past couple years, for sure. So getting on to event promotions. So event promotions, like I mentioned, social media. I don't know why it's doing it that way, but there we go. Okay, social media, of course, highly impactful. We're looking forward to growing your following in social media and obviously leveraging the huge numbers that you guys already have. And so social media is key. Public relations. Every press release we send out has lists of events nearly every month. As well as something new for that we want to do is targeted email and postal direct mail pieces, and have had a lot of success in that in the past, where we can, and especially with the information that we have access to and the programs that we use, we can target, you know, redheaded people who like to, you know, paddleboard in the Back Bay. I mean, you know, we know how to target, we know how to get this information, and we will use it and profile your best clients based on the information that we already have, which is the amazing database that I know Brent has developed at the Tourism Bureau. We can take that information and we can filter that into our system and find clones of those people. And we can target into the geo targets that we want and by the lifestyle targets that we want. And so what you can do with data today is pretty amazing, and we're definitely tapped into that and proficient in that execution. And then on top of that, we're going to support the event promotions through a digital mobile plan. And it's super affordable, so it's really not a lot of high dollars going specifically to the event promotions, but it's really the technique that we're using and the way it's being used. And the networks that we're going to use employ geofencing, and some of you may be familiar with that. But basically what that is it's a virtual fence. So, for example, we can make a geofence around the county of San Luis Obispo. And as soon as somebody with their mobile phone, all it has to be is on, as soon as somebody crosses that geofence into San Luis Obispo, they get pinged. Oh, we have the Morro Bay Harbor Fest coming next weekend, or this weekend, or whatever. So we can target them as they're driving in and to push ticket sales. And what else is really unique about that is that then we can basically data share from their mobile to their phone, to their snail mail address as well. So there are some really sophisticated companies out there, and we're tapping into them for sure. So, moving on to one of the fun. See, now I don't know how I did this, but it's all backwards. Okay, there we go. promotion concepts. So July, August, September, Brent did amazing research for us to base a lot of this, of these promotions on. And it's based on information you guys provide. It's based on research he's done on the website. And so it's information's power. And so we want to make sure that we leverage that knowledge. And one of the goals is, of course, to grow business in September. And you guys are such a huge family destination, and I think there's a couple of reasons that we discuss why you guys have a little drop-off in September. So we really want to kind of attack that. And so we want to do a wine seafood month giveaways July, August, and September. You know, it's a little, you know, July and August, I know you guys also need midweek business, but we should be promoting that already, right? So by the time we launch for this campaign, July and August is really going to be focused on getting you guys bookings for September. Because we know, in general, people are booking like 6 weeks out, you know, and we'll know even more specific after we do a round of seasonal promotions with you guys based on our data feedback, like actually how much, what's your window of booking in general. But so to get those bookings in September, that's what we're proposing. Wine month giveaways, you know, spend a weekend in Morro Bay for wine month, and a lot of some other promotions that go with that, wine tastings and pairings, maybe some free transportation to, you know, on a wine tour, stuff like that. Stuff that's really enticing, because we really want want people to know that Morro Bay is not only in the middle of wine country, while it's not Paso Robles or Edna Valley, you guys have your own wineries here, tasting rooms, downtown, wine bars. I mean, you guys really have this amazing presence of wine here, and I think we need to, you know, make it more well-known. So that's approach on promotion there.
Marianne, I'm sorry, yes. I had a quick question for you.
And
actually,
of course.
Forgive me, etiquette here. Do we wait for the entire presentation to conclude before asking? Do we kind of interject?
I'm fine either way, unless
just
there's
keep the
another
conversation flowing. So the conversion rate there, this guest booking 6 weeks prior to arrival, do they have to be using the conduit of the Discover Morro Bay website for you to have those metrics, or are you able to track it via OTAs on like a larger global scale?
Right. So one of the Adara network that we have listed in the media portion, it's a digital network, they work specifically with travel partners throughout the world, from airlines to, you know, OTAs to hotel groups themselves. And so we're going to track the retargeting efforts and the clicking efforts through Adara, and they're going to be able to give us the analytics that's going to show us after the first campaign, I would say probably this three-month campaign, we're going to be able to say, okay, based on this 3 months' worth of analytics, this is when people, this is the window. People, you know, took 27 days from the day that they saw the ad to the day they booked.
Okay. So Adara can reach out through multiple different GDSs and collect the data.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And there's a little write-up in the plan if you get a second. I don't know what page it's on, but it explains it pretty well. They have, hundreds of partners, billions of profiles of travelers, and they are specifically travel-focused digital media. Does that answer your question?
It very thoroughly.
Okay.
Thank
very
you.
Good. So the next program that we're concepting and envisioning here is a shopping giveaway for October and November to grow November bookings, another identified month that we really would like to see grow in bookings. And again, that six-week window on average. So let's say, you know, obviously some people book 8 weeks out, some people book 4 weeks out, 2 weeks out, etc. So we want to kind of spend those 2 months and do a promotion, a shopping giveaway. You can win a $500 shopping spree in Morro Bay. You know, sign, enter here. If you win, then you get to come to Morro Bay. I mean, they're going to pay their own way, but they get $500 of, you know, Visa card to shop and do their Christmas shopping here. So I think that's pretty compelling reason to come to Morro Bay. And also then it highlights, too, that you guys have such a unique shopping destination. You know, we can highlight all the unique antique stores you guys have, the unique boutiques, you know, the funky, you know, throwbacks and the vintage, right, exactly,
heritage.
Which is cool, you know. I mean, that's great stuff. So that's kind of the concept there. And then going into December, which is always a tricky month, you know, I think, though, what our team came up with was, okay, what about, you know, everybody's hearts are open at the holidays. You know, what if we did a cause-related promotion? And there is a promotion that takes place mainly in Southern California that's called Santa Paws. And what it is people collect toys for dogs. And go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought Santa Paws.
Santa Paws.
I got it now.
Like little feet. Yeah. Dog feet.
I'm slow. Forgive me.
No problem. Santa Paws. And so what we were thinking is we could motivate visitors in December and kind of target that pet-friendly audience. And the promotion could be something like bring a pet toy to, you know, at booking or to your hotel and get 10% off it, you know, when you book. And we could get, like, do a promo code and have people book through your network, and then, they just need to fulfill and bring the toy. And actually, I would personally go to all the hotels and pick up the toys and bring them to Woods Humane. I mean, I just think that's kind of a fun, something new, and I think it really appeals to not only pet owners, but, you know, just pet lovers in general. So that's that concept for that month. Of course, you know, all the wonderful events that take place, they're still going to be promoted on social, through PR, all the other avenues that we just discussed as well. So this promotion is just, again, going to be the call to action that's strong, that makes people click on the ads. So just want to be clear on that. Okay. Winter is for the birds. So this is our winter promotion concept that we came up with. Obviously, the bird festival is huge. And I think just Morro Bay in general, with the amazing estuary you guys have, the number of birds you guys have year-round is incredible. But we know this time of year in the winter that they're really concentrated. A lot of the species are here that maybe aren't here year-round. So winter is for the birds, concept that kind of, portrays Morro Bay as this fantastic place to kind of fly to in the winter, if you will. And then, of course, February is for lovebirds, right? So we can kind of evolve it, not changing much in the ads, actually, but maybe changing the landing page content to, evolve the promotions month by month. And then, of course, March, we'd probably have some kind of spring break component in there, but we're not going to be spending a lot on creative changing the ads out every month. We can kind of use the same concept and then change out other elements, right?
Would that be birds of a feather for spring break?
There you right? go. Yeah. Birds of a feather flock together to Morro Bay. Exactly. So it's just fun ideas. And by the way, actually, the shopping giveaway, a fun idea would be rock, paper, scissors. Brent came up with that concept of rock, paper, scissors, but shopping, holiday gifts, paper, wrapping, scissors, cut. Anyway, it's an idea. Okay, winter's for the birds. Midweek promo, April, May, and June. So that's really when we want to kind of go after getting people booking and midweek, because we know you guys, your weekends are packed. People love coming here in the summer. But we really want to grow that midweek during those times. And so that's when we want to do the promotions, get the midweek packages out there, do it like play hooky promotion. We have a lot of concepts. And again, this is just the bones more than really the dialing it down deeper. But we're excited about coming up with some fun concepts for that as well. But it's really just getting the ads out there, strong call to action, and getting them, informing them about why it's really great to travel midweek, what are the benefits of coming to Morro Bay and traveling midweek. So that would be April, May, and June. And then we come back around to wine month again. That would be kind of the concept again, going for September. Obviously, based on the success or tweaking of whatever happens from this year's wine month, and then, we would apply all those nuggets learned for the next campaign. So that is promotion concepts. And then finally, just really kind of wanted to emphasize how the hotels are being represented throughout all of this. I think it's really important for you guys to understand, because I know it's, you guys are on the front lines, right? And it's your money coming into these coffers. And so, but you guys also know it's like, okay, we need to promote all there is to do in Morro Bay to get heads in your beds. But there is, there are hotel listings and hotel representation throughout it all. So
So packages on landing pages. So all of these promotions we just went over, they've got to go, you know, when they click, they go to a landing page. You know, that's where we can really, this is where we explain to them what Morro Bay is about. We have a search, you know, search stay button right there, nice and big. We can list out all of the hotels when they enter to win the stay. You know, we can have them pick what hotel they want to stay at. So they need to go through all the hotel listings, right? So we're really giving them multiple opportunities and multiple incentive to go through all of the hotel listings. Social media, again, cross-promote packages, you know, on social media. Now they're allowing you to have, you know, book buttons and all kinds of fun, you know, action-oriented buttons. So we'll definitely take advantage of that. Again, just local guest blogger program. I'd love to see some hoteliers do blogs about remodels or some new news that are happening at their hotels. You know, just creative ideas to get you guys out there. Targeted email blasts specific to hotel promotion. So Brent does the weekly promotion that comes out of his office that goes over all there is to do and all that great information. This would probably be part of the bigger targeted email campaign where we can blast it out to, you know, hundreds of thousands of potentially new visitors. We could also blast it out and say, hey, do you want information about Morro Bay, and then create an opt-in opportunity. So there's a lot to do with that. And that would be specific to promotions from the hotels. Press releases, of course, include pertinent packages each month. And then, of course, call to action. Catch a good night's sleep in Morro Bay. You know, it's just an example. But, you know, always have a call to action surrounding where, you know, and how they can get to that information on your site. So those were just some of the key highlights I wanted to point out, kind of pulling it all together. And I'm sure you guys have some questions, and so I'd love to, and feedback, of course. So I'd love to hear from you guys.
Now, I do want to tie in, because obviously Marianne had addressed the events. We are going to continue on with strategic partnerships. You know, obviously that is going to come down the pipeline. We currently have one going on right now with Yosemite and doing the Summit of the Sea Adventure Passport, right, which is very exciting. We're gonna continue kind of looking at who those partners are. It's not reflected specifically within this plan, but just know that we are branching out and wanting to do more of that. Exposure with different destinations can be such a huge benefit, because a lot of times, you know, people who are going specific to like Yosemite, there's a connection between our destination and their destination. They have a Morro Rock, we have a Morro Rock. They have found with some of their statistics where people who go to Yosemite, they want to have a coastal experience as well. So we're going to be looking at what those strategic partnerships will be. I know one of a previous board member had talked about in the past and doing a partnership with Monterey. How do you go from Monterey to Morro Bay? You know, there's mm-hmm. there's a nice little connection there. There's a far enough distance away. So it's just really a matter of like figuring out like what those strategic partnerships will look like. Again, that's something that we're going to be looking at there. Also, prior to the stakeholder meeting, I'm hoping that we're going to be having mental marketing sit down with the marketing group with Visit San Luis Obispo County, because we do also want to make sure to be addressing those co-op opportunities, that partnership as well. We do have a partnership with the Central Coast Tourism Council, more in the international realm. Mm-hmm. You saw that in the plan that I provided. One of those partnerships is with Black Diamond, and Black Diamond, they connect a lot with the UK market through PR and different media. That's something that we're not going to have mental marketing specifically do, but they're going to have that connection and that relationship between, you know, the PR pushes that we're doing, and they're also going to be assisting as far as like with Black Diamond as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of those additional partnerships that you're not seeing in this specific document, but not to say that it's not existing, just to kind of get that into your frame of mind today.
Okay.
I've got a question.
Perfect. Sure. Yes, let's start.
Black
some questions.
Diamond, I'm very familiar with them. Is this a collaboration with Visit SLO or is it with Visit California?
No, it's actually Central Coast Tourism Council.
CCTC.
Yes, they have a contract, and so through our membership with CCTC, we actually are able to connect and partner with them to try to reach that UK market. So it's very valuable. I mean, mm-hmm. for us, it's about $2,500 for a year.
The collaboration with CCTC, I think, if you aren't familiar with the group, is very it should be strong. And
yes.
We've joined the
Agreed.
Group.
Agreed.
You know, as a hotel, we've joined the group, and I'm a long-time supporter of working with them to do just these very things, like a Ventura to Morro Bay, a Monterey to Morro Bay,
right.
and anywhere in between. I mean, these are the people we can work with. So that's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
And just, I was a board member for 2 years with the Central Coast Tourism Council. Very familiar with them and their head team. It's really a great group. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll ask questions. We'll just kind of go around. Charlie kind of started. If I went through and read through everything last night, and great. I love all the niche marketing. I'm always one up here saying we need to niche market, get people to market to the people that we know are going to come here. Don't market to people that aren't interested.
Right.
So I saw a lot of that in the report, and I think that's really great.
Wonderful.
And as we know, it's a draft, so, you know. If anybody goes home later and reads something and has something, I mean, this isn't set in stone, so send it to Brent, and Brent can get off to them. So I just want to remind the board of that, too, in case anybody wasn't up till midnight reading it like I was. Taylor? Nothing? Aaron?
No specific questions, Marianne.
Okay.
It was very thorough. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay. Brent's got something.
Now, I know that she talked a lot about digital, and I keep pushing our agencies that we can't put all our eggs in one basket. It's nice to use digital because it can change, but we are going to be incorporating some print and direct mail, et cetera, because people always get their information from a lot of different areas. And I think Marianne pointed that out earlier. We are going to try to focus and leverage a lot of the PR to get into those print publications and to get onto some of those online publications. So I think it's very smart. It's a smart way in how to do that. But just to say we're not going to completely go away from having that marketing mix, because we have found that through this last fiscal year that not everybody is getting their information online. We do have a contingent of people who are traveling here. They want the touch and feel. They want to be able to pick up something to page through and to me, I love the idea of actually going back to doing some quarterly or some strategic direct mails, because, as you know, everybody's email inbox gets so full that, people are actually going back to direct mail again and utilizing some of those things. But it really has to be very strategic. So, I mean, just knowing, we've sat down and talked about that. I think, too, we have to really look at some of those visuals. We now have had, four different compliments on the new billboard designs, thankfully.
Yay!
We've been hearing it from city council members. We've been hearing it from community members. Now we're hearing it from hoteliers. We're hearing it from other business owners. It's like, it's finally a billboard that makes sense. So, I mean, we do need to also be looking at some of those other visuals that we can use to impress upon for visitors coming in and when they're going along the highway, to get them to come and stop, stay, spend money, stay longer. It's all of those things, all of the above. So I'm very excited. We have a lot of work to do before April.
Yes, we do.
So, but we did want to be able to provide you guys with a preliminary draft. And I do thank Marianne and the rest of the mental marketing team for getting this together. They didn't have a lot of time. I mean, there wasn't really a lot of time for them to put it together, basically 2 weeks. So, I mean, what's actually in front of you is 2 weeks of work. So, but again, we have a lot of work to do before April. So if there are any concerns, definitely direct them to me or Marianne. I know Jane is not able to be here today, but, I definitely want to get some feedback. We need your support. We need your engagement. We need you to be able to back this plan and also be thinking about it on a standpoint for some of the other hoteliers. Like, how are they going to perceive this? We don't want it to be more work for you guys. We want it to definitely make sense. It has to be high impact, low maintenance. You know, we don't want to make more work. It's a stretch right. so far to try to get specials and deals from hotels because you guys are running your properties. You're trying to do the day-to-day. So we definitely want to make sure that we're going to have a timeline that's going to be realistic to get you guys to be thinking about it far enough in advance to be like, okay, I need to be thinking about this and having that to be at the ready. So I know that Marianne and team and us, we're going to be able to like help out with that.
I have Great. A quick question, if that's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
In relation to what Brent just said, question to you guys. So if we were to send out one email saying, okay, here's the four or five promotional opportunities that are going to be coming this next fiscal year, and the deadlines and the dates, if we were to send that well in advance ahead of time, would that be helpful for you guys instead of doing it like the 2 months prior each time?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because we did talk about that a little bit at our meeting with Brent, and I think we're going to do something. We are going to try to do something like that. So you guys have much more time to kind of put this stuff together because I know it takes time, and it's not necessarily the fire you need to put out every day. So,
right.
So okay, good. We will incorporate that in somehow.
It's nice to kind of have a lot of future because I know like in our office we just lost the marketer, so now she's coming in once a month, and so it's nice if I can get her and be like, okay, give me the next 6 months.
There you go.
So I think the more we can have, it's not to say we can't still respond to last minute stuff.
Sure.
But it helps for more of that future. You know, some people right. only have a marketer come in quarterly, or you know, right. we have a lot of small properties.
Right.
So they may only sit down and look at their marketing calendar once or twice a year. It's not where they're working on it every day like some of the bigger companies.
Sure.
So I think that would be really helpful for the smaller properties. We're all doing everything, cleaning rooms, marketing, front desk, you know, and I think we forget that in Morro Bay, which is why I think we sometimes don't get responses back or somebody leaves. And then, so I think that would be very helpful.
Okay.
And I think I can feel confident in saying this, Marianne, but I think we could actually have, because not everybody's on email, and I do have to, you know, a big majority of the hoteliers do not respond via email. They're not the means of communication is very different with a lot of the hoteliers here in Morro Bay. So we have a tendency of either mailing out, faxing out, hand delivering. So I think actually having a physical piece of paper at the annual stakeholder Great. Meeting next month, I think we can Perfect. Talk about what are some of the upcoming opportunities to be able to participate with the deadlines and how they can respond and who they can respond to. So I just, I think we always try to have a lot of different means of communication. I would say that about 10% of the hotels actually respond via email in Morro Bay. And that's actually very common throughout the whole county, to be honest with you. Charlie, I know you were on the Visit San Luis Obispo County board, and I would say about 10% actually read and respond. And we're always like modifying. We've actually found the sweet spot right now as far as like when we send out emails from our office, and we find that between like the 12:30, 1 o'clock time, we get a much higher response. When we're sending it out at other times when hotels are very, very busy, if they're doing breakfast or they're doing checkout or check-in or what have you, we find that the response rate is much, much lower. So we've been trying to test that actually over the last year and a half, and we found that sweet spot. So, but we still, you know, the response is actually very low here and actually throughout the county. So we just try to modify the way that we communicate.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And your Thank entire you team. Thank you and your
Thank
entire
you.
Team. Because I know it's not just you. I know you've got a whole team
yes.
behind you. So I appreciate you coming out today and
sure.
presenting to this. And I'm sure if we have any questions, we'll send them over to Brent and get them your way. But
Thank you.
Thanks for working hard for Morro Bay. We really appreciate
Absolutely.
It. You guys do a great job
we
for
enjoy
us.
It.
And we're looking forward to the next year and getting all this stuff fun. This is the fun stuff, which we forget about. This is all the fun stuff that we are supposed to be here for. So thank you
right.
so much.
You're welcome. Thank you guys yeah. so much for your time.
Thank you, Marianne.
Okay, board. I think that was our last agenda item. I'm going to move us forward to, because we don't have to do anything. This is draft, so we don't have to do it. Yeah, okay. So declaration of future agenda items. I'll look to the board and see if they have any declaration of a future agenda items. Aaron, I'll look to you first.
I have no future agenda items.
Taylor?
I have something that I have talked about today that I'd like to continue discussion. I don't know if it needs to be on the agenda yet or what, but I really think this concept of having either a city staff or a TBID or whatever, a position of somebody that does coordinating, marketing, PR for these volunteer groups that put on events and stuff in Morro Bay is something that we need to talk about, because it might not be something for this year or even next year, but down the road, I think that piece is essential in order for us to do this economically.
And Taylor, I can answer a little bit of that. As far as like the marketing and PR, we're already doing that already for the events. We don't do it so much on a local level, but we're actually doing a lot of marketing and PR for the events outside of the area. So, I mean, it is actually already happening. We're not specifically coordinating events. We do try to chime in and try to help events to give them suggestions if they're open to it. But just know that there is marketing and PR already happening for all of the events that actually are here in Morro Bay. That's through email, it's through social media, it's through when we have opportunities through press releases as well. So we are, and you know, direct mail and oftentimes too, sometimes within print and sometimes in digital as well. So we have been doing that. I know even prior to me starting with the Bureau, that's actually was happening with my predecessor as well. So I think you might be thinking about it on a much larger scale than what we're talking about today.
Yeah, I just feel like, especially when I was listening to that kind woman talk about the Bands on the Run today and about how they've got some few mailers or whatever, and I feel like right now we're in a zone of coaching where we need to coach them, and you know, I think that we need to discuss
it. We're getting into discussion. Sorry. Let's put it on a future agenda item. I want to get us out of here. We're getting into discussion. Anything else, Taylor? Sorry to cut you off.
If you put it on the agenda, that's what I wanted.
Okay. Okay, anything else, Charlie? No.
And then just to say that we are going to be bringing back, there was an agenda item about like a hotel adoption,
yes, thank you.
Distributing and having people have hotel assignments. We did want to have Member Beeman here to be able to have that as a discussion. She wanted as a future agenda item. Unfortunately, with the family emergency, she wasn't able to be here. So Michelle and I, we did pull that from the agenda today because we feel like it's really important for her to be here to talk about the importance of that. So that will actually come back for the May meeting.
Thank you, Brent, for reminding me of that. I forgot to tell the board that, and that changed. Okay, so seeing any future declaration of future items, we are adjourned at 11:38. Is that right? Yeah, 11:38. Thank you. We'll see everybody in a month at the stakeholders meeting.